You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:05pm with Gordon Brown, Sam Turner and Ross Brierley in the studio. It's National Hunt Racing at Catterick, accompanied by two all-weather meetings, one from Kempton on their poly track and one on the fibre sand at Southwell. So three meetings to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Ollie Pimlott. How are you, Ollie?
Not too bad, Mark.
Yeah, good man. We'll do the Monday jury to start with, as we usually do on Tuesday's Racing Podcast, and then we'll get stuck into the fall races on Tuesday. Pretty good weekend of racing to look back on, Ollie, as well, isn't it, before we get stuck into it?
Yeah, excellent weekend of racing, lots of festival pointers. No superstars, I don't think, revealed at the weekend, but plenty of decent pointers towards the festival.
Yeah, no surprise to see those kind of questions in the Racing Post Monday jury. On the back of that, turn, the first of the questions is, does Old Guard have a realistic prospect of muscling in on the champion hurdle scene? Obviously won the International at Cheltenham on Saturday. Currently a 20-1 shot for the champion hurdle.
Yeah, I think we're around about biggest price, industry price on Old Guard, and I think we're correct in being so. Paul Nichols won the had a similar horse in Brampore a few years ago, ridden by his nephew, Harry Derham. I know he thinks Old Guard is significantly better than that. It's a route well trodden, of course, by Rooster Booster in 2003, when, of course, in the same season he won the Greatwood, won this, and then went on to win the champion hurdle. But I'm yet to be convinced that he's in that class. He won well at the weekend, but Sempre Medici would be fourth or fifth string of the Willie Mullins champion hurdle contenders, and certainly I think a lot of his novices would be rated better than Sempre Medici, and he's only beaten him the best part of a length on Saturday afternoon. Hargem was a decent juvenile hurdler, of course, last year. He finished third in the Triumph hurdle, bombed out at Aintree, but perhaps a long season had taken its toll by then. Nicky Henderson has come out and said that, you know, he's a big stuffy horse. I actually think on the on champion hurdle day, Hargem could overturn that form with Old Guard. We know he likes Cheltenham. He's said to have needed the run again on Saturday. And we're likely to get a little bit better ground in March. I think Hargem might well overturn the form with Old Guard. So to surmise, he's a much improved performer, isn't he? He's gone up the best part of £20 since being her third behind Little Rockefeller at Sandown last season. But I think he's still got a little bit to find with the likes of Forheen, Nichols Canyon, Arctic Fire. Of course, Peace and Co. is another one in there. He's a shorter price, and he was the one in the race to bomb out, Mark.
Yeah, lost his unbeaten record, and just far too buzzy and keen.
Far too keen. Yeah. I don't think Barry Geraghty got enough credit last season for the way he rode him. He's a difficult ride. He basically bolted with Daryl Jacob for a mile and a half, and I think the only horse we've ever seen be able to do that and win is Frankel, and he, of course, was an absolute freak.
Yeah.
So you can't do that in championship races. You can't do it in graded races at Cheltenham on that sort of ground. So I can forgive him. I think they found a little nick on him. And Daryl Jacob did say he made a noise. But he did look burly in the paddock. And OKP thought he'd improved dramatically for the run. Daryl Jacob wasn't hard on him. I wouldn't be too harsh on that run. Again, I'd like to think that when Peace and Co meets Sempre Medici and Old Guard and Hargem again, that he'd be likely to beat them all. He put Hargem firmly in his place last year. He was unbeaten 4 from 4. As a juvenile hurdler, I still think all the ability remains. I just think there's a combination of being far too fresh, running with a choke out, and being a little bit podgy on his first run was the reasoning behind him. I know, as I say, Daryl Jacob thought he'd made a little bit of noise, so perhaps they'll have a little tweak with his wind in between now and his next race. But I would be very quick to not rule out Peace and Co.
Okay, so keep an eye on Peace and Co. then. On his next run. Moving on to the second question in the Monday jury, what will be you doing with more of that if you owned him?
There's been talk of three races, haven't there? The JLT, the RSA, and even Jonjo O'Neill mentioned the Gold Cup, which was a route Cunningham took last season, having won that race at Cheltenham. He then, of course, went on to win the Gold Cup. But the Gold Cup this year is a far different animal to the one that Conagree won last year. You've got a hell of a lot of really decent novices. Of course, you've got horses coming back from injury this year as well. I think I would stick to the RSA chase with a view to him gaining experience with a shout at the Gold Cup in 2017. It's a very strong Gold Cup this year as compared to last year. He's won over the 3 miles as the hurdler. Of course, he won the World Hurdle. So I think that is definitely his trip. And over the 3 miles, he can jump and travel within himself, whereas over the JLT trip, he did show plenty of speed, it has to be said, at the weekend. But how much you can read into that in such a race could be questioned. But he couldn't do any more. He was very impressive. But I would certainly be sticking to the RSA route this year, given the Gold Cup being such a competitive race. And even the likes of the JLT, he might be outdone for a little bit of toe. It's a course and distance, obviously, over hurdles, which is won at the festival in previous years. So I'll be sticking to the RSA chase, and I think he ranks a very decent favourite. But even that race, with the likes of Pont Alexandra being so impressive after the best part of 900 days off, looks very competitive. But it's the festival. All races are going to take a lot of winning, but I would much rather him go for the RSA this year with a view to the Gold Cup in 2017.
Okay, so playing the sensible game, if you like, rather.
Yeah, I would do. Yeah.
All right, then, third question. Are winning stablemates So Royal and Who Dares Win's credible triumph hopes?
They are. Whether they win the triumph hurdle, I would be surprised.
Okay.
We don't usually see the triumph hurdle win until around about late December, early in the new year. I'm sure a lot of the big guns, Willie Mullins, Paul Nichols, Alan King, of course, who trains both those two, have a lot more weapons to unleash before the Triumph Hurdle market really takes shape. Of the two, I much prefer Who Dares Wins. He couldn't have been more impressive with his wins at Ludlow and, of course, at Doncaster at the weekend. He's by Jeremy, very good sire of hurdlers. And he will improve for a stiffer test and better ground, which, of course, he'll get at Cheltenham in March. They are looking towards the Triumph Hurdle trial in January. That'll tell us a little bit more about Who Dares Wins in terms of him handling the track. But what he's done so far, he couldn't have done it any better. He jumped like a buck at Ludlow, beat a decent yardstick in the Skelton's horse, who finished a third behind him again at the weekend. And he's pulled well clear, 20 lengths in Robertstown, from a very highly regarded horse who's rated in the mid-90s on the flat. And he's pulled well clear of him. And he, of course, was gambled off the boards. He was 3-1 the morning into 6-4. Favouritism perhaps blew up and didn't really appreciate the ground. So John Ferguson's horse is another to keep in mind. I think he's better than that 20-length defeat by Who Dares Wins at the weekend. But of the two, very much I'll be in the Who Dares Wins camp if he took on the other King runner, So Royal. He was very unfortunate, I thought, to lose the race at Chepstow.
Yeah,
I thought the stewards got that one wrong. He ran well again at Weatherby, just touched off, and it was a really impressive performance at Cheltenham. He, for me, is going to need further in time. He's a dour stayer, and he appreciates a little bit of dig. The Triumph Hurdle in March, they might just go that stride too quick.
All right. Well, Who Dares Wins is 20-1 for the Triumph Hurdle at the moment, and anybody who likes So Royal is 16-1.
The top of the market, Rasheen, I think if he was with a more fashionable trainer, he would be half the price. I think he'd be a very short price favourite. He was picked up cheaply at the sales. He only beat one home on his debut at Dundalk, but what he's done since has been absolutely formidable.
Yeah, but you're quite right that you say, though, you're probably best waiting with the Triumph market until January, really, aren't you?
But if Paul Nichols or Alan King or William Mullins train Rasheen, he'd be 5-1 favourite.
Yeah, would you?
He's 14-1. If I was looking to have a bet in the race now, I think he is value.
Okay, on to the fourth question next then. What other horses have caught your eye recently?
Yeah, nice open question for me, Mark. North Hill Harvey would be the one that has caught my eye most over the last probably 3 or 4 days. Ken Pitterson was at Cheltenham, and prior to the race, which he won, of course, the novice hurdle, where he beat Barden, really striking grey of Nicky Henderson's, and Drumlee Sunset, two decent horses, which he put behind him. Prior to the race, Ken said it was the nicest horse he had seen all season. It was a really impressive performance by the son of Caiff Tara. He won a point-to-point in Ireland in April by 15 lengths on his debut. Then, of course, he bumped into Barters Hill on his debut for the Skeltons. Barters Hill, of course, won the champion bumper at Aintree with some decent horses in behind him. So that Barters Hill form is absolutely rock solid. We've seen that already this season. Horses who finished in behind him have come out and won convincingly. Say he bolted up Barters Hill from North Hill Harvey. That was by 14 lengths. But you look at that Aintree bumper form, had the likes of Bell's Hill in behind, who was so impressive, Mark, yesterday.
Yeah.
Potter's Corner hasn't been out since, but that was a really strong champion bumper at Aintree. So the fact he was beaten behind Barter's Hill, admittedly 14 lengths, but after the race, Dan Skelton came out and said that this had always been the plan. They ran him in the bumper to put him straight for this novice hurdle. Ken came out and said it was by far and away the best horse he'd seen all season in terms of looks. We know what a good judge Ken is. So North Hill Harvey would certainly be on my agenda. I think he's in all the races at the festival. The Skeltons didn't have any plan for him after the Cheltenham race. They had nothing penciled in. So it's going to be interesting to see where he goes next. But I'm pretty sure he'll be entered in all the races at the festival. Where he goes, I'm not so sure, given he's a point-to-point winner. You probably would have thought they'd be going Albert Bartlett, perhaps, rather than the Supreme. But he's certainly worth keeping an eye on. I couldn't have been more impressive. I think Barden, who looks a little bit fat for his first run, he'll improve for that. But John Lee Sunset of the Hobbses has already proved himself to be a decent horse in his own right. So that was a really good run from North Hill Harvey when he won at Cheltenham at the weekend. And say, Ken's comments about it couldn't have been more positive. So if you're looking at a horse to take into the future and towards an anti-post bet at the festival, then North Hill Harvey of the Skelton teams would be it.
All right, North Hill Harvey then won a little bit under the radar there. Nice selection. Turning to the weekend, Ollie, who do you like in the Ladbroke Hurdle? I've got some betting actually for the Ladbroke Hurdle. I'll just spin through it. Jolly cracked it. And Winner Massago are both 6-1 at the top of the market. 10-1 for Semper Medici. Altior is 14s with Diamond King and Hargam and Lil Rockefeller. Sort It Out and Stern Rubin also 14s. Aziz Waxy's Dargle and 16-1. Our bigger prices for the others, obviously wide open at the moment. But
we don't know. We don't know declarations. Probably take two out of this, Mark. Obviously, the likes of Semper Medici aren't going to run, having run at the weekend. Same applies to Hargam. Two here, I'd go with Stern Rubin, the 14-1 shot, the 4-year-old even, trained by Philip Hobbs. He's won his last two, including the listed Jerry Fielden at Newbury last month. Thought that was a good race. He's by authorised. He looked thoroughly progressive in the Terry Warner colours, and he's going to get in off a nice weight. And the other one who's going to get in off a nice weight is Aristo Duplessis of James Ewart. James Ewart thinks this is a grade one horse. I think they've got the world hurdle in mind, so Gordon Brown informs me. So they'd like to think he's extremely well handicapped. He should be 6 from 6, but for unseating at Wetherby when travelling like the winner in October. Even though he's got a big rise in the weight since, I still think he could be well handicapped. Say, James Ewart thinks it's the best horse he's ever had, and he's got big plans for him, the world hurdle being one. So he'd like to think he'd be competitive off this mark at the weekend. So two in there, Stern Rubin for Philip Hobbs in the Warner colours, the 4-year-old by authorised, and another unexposed one in Aristo Duplessis, a northern horse, perhaps going a little bit under the radar for James Ewart.
All right, I'm going to mention one in here as well. Sign of a victory for Nicky Henderson, 20-1 in there at the moment. Nicky Henderson won the race 4 times. It looks like sign of a victory is going to be his runner, providing that the ground doesn't come up too soft, and he's quite impressive in the...
He was on the Jamie a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, on the all-weather.
And he did win over hurdles at Ascot last season, so he does have a liking for the track.
Yeah, just 20-1 looks all right to me. But anyway, let's move on to the final question. Do you think Safir de Rare will make a winning return to hurdles in the long walk? He's 2-1 favourite for the race at the moment, by the way.
Yeah, I think he will. It'd be great to see Rev de Sevilla win the race again, wouldn't it? He's a fan's favourite. Rev de Sevilla for the Williams team, who of course are in fantastic form at the minute. Thistlecrack, he's going to be a hard nut to crack, if you excuse the pun.
well played.
Yeah, he was obviously he was really impressive at the Hennessy meeting. What he beat, though, Mark, on that occasion, there's a big question mark for me. The big question mark, because Cole Harden, there was the trainer came out, Warren Greatrix, and said, this is not his day.
No. It was a respectable reappearance, but that's all it was, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
The favourite Whisper finished tailed off.
Yeah.
So the race completely fell to pieces. All you can do is win your race. Fair play to Thistlecrack, he did that. But should he be 5-2 second favourite in a race of this nature? Probably not. Mm-hmm. Kilcooley made an impressive Start to his season in the Grade 2 West Yorkshire Hurdle at Wetherby, where, of course, he beat Rock on Ruby. Rock on Ruby, I know he's been retired, but his thankless form since when he won.
Yep.
So that is pretty solid form. Rev de Sivilla has a liking for the track. You'd have to think with his form, the style of running, he's a gritty. He comes off the bridle early, very much in like Loch Derg used to do, of course, used to win the race. He comes off the bridle early, and he's just a gritty battler. The forecast for the weekend is pretty good. I don't think they'll forecast too much rain after today. That's going to go against Rev de Sivilla. He wants a bog and a real test. Yeah. So 11-2, I think he's up against it. And then we're going 14-1 bar. So process of elimination. You've got cracks in pretty much all of these. You can question the Thistle Crack form at Newbury. Kilcooley is the one that goes under the radar a little bit. But is he quite good enough to win a race of this nature? Rev de Sivilla, long in the tooth, probably not going to get his ground. So he come back to Safia Dura. Negatives, he finished fifth off top weight in a Hennessy on heavy ground.
Yeah.
That is going to have taken a hell of a lot out of him.
Hmm.
Paul Nicholls is a little bit disappointed with him, but I think that's because he rates him that highly. He talked prior to the race of having the speed of a Corto Star and the heart of Denman.
Yeah.
That is absolutely huge praise.
Huge praise, yeah.
We saw last season when he won at Aintree, he's a class act. He was just touched off in a World Hurdle, of course, last season. I think he's a very worthy favourite at 2-1. The one big worry is that slog in the mud in the Hennessy when he finished fifth. I thought off top weight for a second season chaser who'd had very limited experience, let's remember.
Yep.
He'd fallen a couple of times and unseated. He only had one run over fences since then at Aintree on far better ground against novices. This is another big test for him, but he's the class horse in the race. Paul Nicholls couldn't have any better words to say about him. I think he's a very worthy favourite at 2-1. The negative, does that race in the Hennessy take too much out of him? For me, I'd like to take the 2-1 and take the chance.
Okay, fair enough. That's the Monday jury then for another week. Let's move on to matters a little bit more pressing though, because Tuesday's racing is fast approaching. Ollie's got four racers picked out for us. We'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, we'll spin through these in meeting order, if you like. So we start in the 210 at Kempton. And this one is a Class 5 handicap over a mile and a quarter. Field of 14 here, Ollie. Which ones have made the shortlist for you?
Well, likely favourite here, you'd have thought, is Carnage, named after a night out with you, Mark Knowlton. His likely race maiden yet to go off the mark, who's second of 10 the handicap at Wolverhampton 18 days ago. Does make his polytrack debut here at Kempton, but being a son of Lawman, should have no question marks going on the track. The couple of worries for me, Mark, is the draw. Drawn 12 of 14, so he's drawn out wide. Big positive is Luke Morris jockey booking. Danny Kubler's had a few winners in the past couple of weeks. But my selection is going to be Put a Ring on It for Jeremy Gask and friend of the show and studio, Steve Drown. Always got to get that one in there. Likely race winner last time. It was a career best when he won a 14-runner handicap at Lingfield. That was 3 weeks ago. You'd have to say he looks pretty well handicapped for me. He improved for that step-up in trip when he got off the mark on his handicap debut at Lingfield last month. You'd argue she was value for extra than the winning margin on that occasion. Certainly looks to have claims from a £3 higher mark today. So my selection in the 210 at Kempton would be Put a Ring on It.
I always knew you were a Beyonce fan on the quiet.
Like what you did there.
Yeah, Put a Ring on It for Ollie in the 210. Just a note, by the way, if you're having a bet at Kempton, throughout December, we're offering money back if your horse finishes second in selected meetings. On Tuesday, it's Kempton Park. So if you have a bet and your horse finishes second, you get your money back as a free bet for up to £25, and that applies to races with five or more runners. So do take advantage of that throughout December. That also applies in the 240 at Kempton, which is where we go next. This is a Class 4 handicap over five furlongs, 10 of them in the lineup here all, and quite an open race as well.
Yeah, another really competitive race here at Kempton. I would be very tempted here to go with San Francisco, course and distance winner, but it's 12 runs since his last win, and that was back in 2014. That is the off-putting thing, Mark. But he is certainly dropping to a competitive mark, and he was a creditable 1 3/4 length third to Burning Thread in a handicap over course and distance 13 days ago. Of course, Burning Thread reopposes here the David Ellsworth gelding by Captain Rio. He's certainly improved on recent efforts to win that handicap over Course and Dietrich 13 days ago from Pensac's Lad by 3/4 length. And another one to reoppose from that race is, of course, the top weight Pensac's Lad for Ron Harris and Gary Mahn. Gary Mahn takes off a very useful 5 here. He was second, of course, behind those two, Burning Thread. And backing third was San Francisco last time. He does have a penalty to carry, however. Gary Mahn offsets that, and the yard are in good form. So, very, very competitive race. I'm going to ignore that recent course and distance handicap and go for one near the bottom of the handicap in the form of Red Stripes here for Brian Meehan and Adam Kirby. He did well to finish third in a red-hot Lingfield handicap last time. A respectable third of 7 there at Lingfield. That was 13 days ago. Certainly dropping in grade here. And a very eye-catching jockey booking even with Adam Kirby booked for Brian Meehan, for whom he's got a very good strike rate. Draw would be a slight worry in 8 of 10. But I thought the eye-catching jockey booking, and certainly was a hotter race in which he was third last time than the one he competes in here. So in the 2:40 at Kempton, the selection would be Red Stripes.
Red Stripes, really, then, in the 2:40. To Catterick we go next for their 2:20. This one is a Class 4 handicap hurdle over 3 miles and 1 furlong. We've only got 5 of them in the lineup here, Ollie, and it's quite a tricky little race.
Very tricky little race here. Just a 5 go, but you could give a shout to the majority of these, barring the top weight Minella Hero. The first one to concentrate on is, of course, Freddie's Portrait. Another very eye-catching jockey booking in Sam Twiston Davies, who for the limited rides he's taken for Donald McCain has a very good strike rate. Donald McCain, of course, had a nice winner at Carlisle on Sunday. He had a winner on Friday as well. So his team, much reduced team, has to be said, is in fairly decent form. And I was pretty taken with Freddie Portrait's run behind Vernon. That was at Carlisle last time. Vernon looks to be a thoroughly progressive four-year-old by Virtual, trained by Alan Swinbank. That is by far and away the best form leading into the race. I don't think you're going to get much value for your pound in Freddie's Portrait. I would estimate he'll go off around about an even money favourite. If anybody's going to put it up to him, it would be the Sue Smith-trained Blake Dean. A hell of a lot more miles on the clock, this seven-year-old by Halling. He's had the best start. He's had 31 runs, twice a winner, and he's been placed on 10 occasions as well. His mark of 93 looks fairly fair because he has won off higher marks in the past. He's won off a mark of 99 in the past, so much the most likely raced in the field. Sam Twiston Davies, a very eye-catching jockey booking, and Donald McCain has his string in fairly decent form. So the 2:20 at Catterick, it is a pretty tricky race, but I go with the favourite, or the likely favourite, Freddie's Portrait.
Freddie's Portrait, then, the selection for Ollie in the 2:20 at Catterick. And the final race we look at is the 3:30 at Southall. This one is a Class 5 handicap. We've got 13 of them to take their place here on the fibre sand. Who would you go with in the last that we look at?
Yeah, you've given me another tricky one here, Mark. 13.
It's hard, isn't it?
13 go to post. Likely favourite is probably going to be Abby Scarlett. She's another one who's had plenty of runs, 32 starts for this 6-year-old. Scott Dixon has his team in excellent form, and her jockey today, Kieran O'Neill, is getting a hell of a lot more chances for his boss, Richard Hannon, since the retirement of Richard Hughes, of course. So she's likely to be a likely favourite here. Scott Dixon's based near Southall, has a decent strike rate at the track, around about 18%. But the one I thought at a bigger price, AlphaTauri, would be a tentative selection. Phil Makin is not riding much on the all-weather during the winter, but the rides he's taking are generally winning. He's got a fantastic strike rate for Keith Dalgleish, but he's also got a good strike rate for the outside yards he's taking, because he generally just hunts during the winter, does Philip. He's not too bothered about the all-weather racing. So when he's doing a pretty light weight, which he's doing today at Southall, that has to be taken into account. And I thought that was a very eye-catching run behind Spirit of Zeb last time. Spirit of Zeb was dropping to a mark of 72. He's been as high as 79 in the past. He did win convincingly at Southall last time. But AlphaTauri, much improved performer in recent weeks for the Smith stable. Of course, he's rated far higher at Southall than he is on the turf. So he's a specialist on the poly track. And at the prices, I think he should be double figure price, AlphaTauri. He'd give you an each way an each way shot with a very eye catching jockey booking with Phil Makin doing 9 stone 3.
All right, AlphaTauri then in the 3:30 at Southwell as usual, Ollie. Let's just have a little bit of a summary if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
In the 2:10 at Kempton, Mark, my selection would be Put a Ring on It. In the 2:40 at Kempton, my selection is Red Stripes. The 2:20 at Catterick, my selection is Freddie's Portrait. And in the 3:30 at Southwell, my selection is AlphaTauri.
Good work. Thank you very much, Ollie. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Ollie Pimlott on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:05 PM. Gordon Brown, Sam Turner and Ross Briley, the team in the studio. It's jumping at Catterick and all-weather racing at Kempton and Southwell. Three meetings this Tuesday. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.